Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Union Avenue Opera opens its 22nd festival season Friday with a new take on Gilbert and Sullivan's The Mikado, and it will continue through the end of August with Puccini's Tosca and the St. Louis premiere of Douglas Cuomo's Doubt. Steve Potter takes a look at Union Avenue's new season.
In the opening production, The Mikado, Melissa Parks sings the role of Catashaw, Eric Gibson directs, and Scott Schoonover, Union Avenue's artistic director, conducts Welcome to You All.
Thank you so much.
Scott, you described this season as a milestone for Union Avenue. Why do you say that?
Well, we're bringing a new production, first of all, of The Mikado, and we're doing it in a very different way, so we're updating it. And for us, that's a little bit of a departure. It's kind of a bigger production than some that we've done. We're bringing Tosca back to our stage after 14 years, mm-hmm. and the last time we did it on a pretty small scale. This is going to be quite a bit different production than what we did the last time. And finally, and maybe most importantly, this pretty large production of Doubt that we're doing, which is a Missouri premiere, and it's only the second time this has ever been done in the country. And of course, starring in the lead role is Christine Brewer. So this is something definitely different for us, bringing another level of artistry to our
stage. And she originated the role.
She did, actually, yes, at Minnesota Opera about 3 years ago.
And Christine and the composer.
Yes, Douglas Cuomo.
Will be back with us on this program.
Yes, that's right.
In August, so we'll look forward to that.
Yes.
You know, usually you like to talk about how you sing in original language with projected English subtitles.
Yes.
This season, though, two of your shows are in English anyway.
Yes, they are. We still will have super titles, though. No worries.
Well, I'm curious why you do that.
Well, because we want to make sure that everybody gets every word. And it is not always easy to, of course, we work very hard at the diction. We work as hard as we can to make sure that everything's understood. But remember that when we're especially talking about Gilbert and Sullivan, that some of the language is a little antiquated. It's, you know, from Victorian times. And sometimes seeing it really helps bring home the meaning of the words.
Melissa Parks, you are no stranger to Gilbert and Sullivan,
no,
are you?
No, I'm not.
Not just only this production, but to a lot of theirs.
Yes, yes. I think I've done maybe 10 of the 13.
I read something. Could this be right, that you have played this role in The Mikado and several roles in other Gilbert and Sullivan shows 150
yes.
times each?
Yes. That's true. I had the great fortune, especially with this piece, to do a long run of it at a theater in Pittsburgh. So we did maybe 80 performances. So that's a lot of it. But I've maybe done 17 productions of The Mikado on top of all of that. Yeah. So it's kind of turned into a wonderful thing for me. I started it as a younger singer, and they just never let me go.
She's amazing at the role, I have to say.
Well, thank you, Scott.
You've also done quite a bit of work as a soloist with various symphonies
yes.
around the country.
Yes,
and
I have.
You won some sort of Pavarotti competition and actually worked with him at some point?
I did. The last time he held his Pavarotti competition, I was a winner. And I performed with him a couple of times on a Pavarotti Friends concert and then on a big gala concert that he hosted for the winners. He right. also recommended me to the Metropolitan Opera and led to my contracts there.
How's he to work with?
He was wonderful. He was so kind and generous to me. And the first time I ever heard him sing live, you know, I grew up in El Paso, Texas. So Pavarotti didn't come every week, strangely. So the first time I sat in the same room with him and he opened his mouth to sing, and he was in his 60s at this point, tears came to my eyes. I was surprised myself. I'm not an overly sentimental person.
I was in Louisville, Kentucky once, knew someone involved in the arts there and had a chance to sit in the second row during one of his rehearsals for a performance. And that was quite thrilling, too.
It's amazing.
Eric Gibson, I don't think you've directed a Mikado 150 times. Like
sometimes
Melissa.
It feels like it.
But I was going to say, but you have
multiple.
A lot though, multiple times.
Yeah, I think
what's
this
your
is
background
my
with that?
Yeah, I've been in the chorus of the Mikado. I have assistant directed the Mikado, seen it many, many times, and I directed my first production. I think it was way back in 1990, and since then I've done it for a few companies in Ann Arbor, and I ran a company in Tulsa for a while and directed it twice there. And then I've done it in other regional companies.
Yeah, you mentioned Tulsa. There's an opera company there you were with for quite a while, I think.
There were two opera companies in Tulsa. There's the big one, Tulsa Opera, and I was actually on staff there for a while in education. And then there was a smaller opera company called Look or Light Opera Oklahoma, and I ran that for just over a dozen years.
All right, the Mikado. Scott, you have updated this. You've changed a few things around.
Yes. Well, we're setting this in an English gentleman's club called the Japan Gentleman's Club.
Now, when you say gentleman's club.
think Gilbert and Sullivan's time, cigar bar. Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
And it's not only gentlemen in this club, I will say, because the young ladies are there as well. And it's sort of the stereotypical club that you might think of, all wood paneling with a bar. I don't know what else to say
about
beautiful
it. Beautiful leatherback chairs.
Yeah, exactly.
A drink ready at the snap of a finger. You know, lots of fun.
Things we're used to.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yes. Absolutely.
Eric, Melissa, how does that work for you when they change a production like that? Does that make it a little more fun for you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I'm all for the update. I think it's just amazing. And the thing that I love the most about this is it really serves the language of the piece. I mean, this piece is really just a British comedy. And so we've just kind of helped the audience along and put them in Britain.
And I think the true testament of any time you transfer a piece from one period to the other, if the concept has merit, you don't really have to change a whole lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people force something into a change, and they have to modify text, and they have to change things around and cut things and add things to justify it. And we haven't done that. We're keeping the piece pretty much as is. And so that makes it a lot of fun for us and for the audience.
Yes.
You don't always change things, though, Scott, do you?
No, most of the time we don't. Although I will say that often we transform – well, like maybe change from – 1900 to 1920, which isn't such a it's for the clothes often that we mm-hmm. will make those changes, that something's a lot easier to costume.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and we're talking about the bottom line, to be honest. But in this case, it was a conscious decision to do something a little bit different.
Well, Melissa, who is Catashaw?
Catashaw, the most misunderstood character in all of opera. She is an elderly woman of the Mikado's court, a woman of high stature. And she happened to catch the eye of the young son of the Mikado, and he was just nice to her. He probably just said hi or something. So she took that, and meaning that he was going to marry her. And it terrified him so much that he ran away and started traveling around the countryside and disguising his identity. Well, after about an hour of absolute happiness of the Mikado, I find him. And I come in the Act One finale, and I claim him and say that because the Mikado says, if you show me any favor, I get to marry you, you have to come back with me. And so I kind of throw a wrench into the whole thing.
I see. So there are these gentlemen that are in this fictitious Japanese town, and there's a handsome but poor trombonist.
That would be Nanki Poo.
Oh, I see. Okay.
That's the one I have my eye
He's
on.
He's disguised as a trombonist.
A second
yes.
trombone.
Yes.
I love that there's so many interesting names in this. Like,
yes. Mm-hmm.
How does Yum Yum figure into this?
She, of course, is the romantic lead. She's the ingenue. She's the head three little maid from school. She's the lead one.
But Eric, there's some flirting going around, and I understand flirting in this world is a capital crime punishable by very serious consequences.
It's all very secretive flirtation.
Yes.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's all wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Yes.
But it's a capital crime.
Well, we can't kill everybody. Just Coco.
There would be no one left
gets
on stage.
Off in the end. Yes.
Yes. No one actually dies in the making of this opera.
No.
They come pretty close.
Three little maids from school. Would you set that up?
Well, it's the entrance song for Yum Yum, Pitty Sing, and Peep Bo. It's a really short song. It's maybe all of a hot minute, maybe, you know, maybe a minute and a half. But it's an introduction song that explains who they are, their kind of philosophy, and that everything's fun.
And we're talking with Scott Schoonover, Melissa Parks, and Eric Gibson about The Mikado, which is the first production of Union Avenue Opera's new season. July 8th is when that begins. And we haven't mentioned Coco.
Well, Coco is, first of all, it's the patter role. It's the GNS patter role and the comedic baritone, shall we say. And he's always given a wonderful what should we say, a spoof patter song.
Yes.
Gilbert and Sullivan were phenomenal satirists, you know, of British culture at the time. And he's always given some, like Sir Joseph Porter in HMS Pinafore makes fun of the Navy. Coco is making fun of the British government, basically. And he's basically a guy that was elevated, and he's just an idiot, and no one will work for him, which causes, that's the impetus for another character, Pooh Bah, who is Lord High everything else because no one will serve under this upstart Coco.
Mm-hmm. So and Coco got in trouble for flirting, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And escaped decapitation.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. And is now in charge of, everybody else.
One of the things that I'd like to say about Coco and about these other guys, too, is that as you're listening, St. Louis audiences are going to hear just a ton of local references that it's common practice to mm-hmm. insert St. Louis or all your local things that are going on in your city. So there's a lot of politics as well about the presidential.
Baseball.
Frozen
yogurt.
Football. Don't forget about football and, you know, the lack of football.
Uh-huh.
All that sort of stuff right. going on. So I think audiences will really enjoy that part of it, too.
Well, that really brings it back to its comedic roots. I mean, it was, you know, obviously Gilbert and Sullivan were very in tune with everything that was happening in, you know, the Victorian period. So bringing it into our time with mm-hmm. updates is absolutely appropriate.
And there's a problem, too, because if this justice isn't carried out, I mean, the town will be punished, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's
it's reduced
right.
to the rank of a village.
Yes. Yes.
And who wants that?
Yeah. No
one.
There's even a joke that they all become village people.
So I don't want to give up too much of the plot, but someone get married?
Yes, two people get married. In fact, two couples get married.
But isn't there a little fraud going on there, from what I remember?
Oh, absolutely. The whole thing is a big ruse.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah, it's all a big show for the Mikado. Yes.
And in fact, we don't know until right at the end if he buys it or not. You know, the Mikado could be so mad he offs everyone. But
right.
He ends up accepting it.
Melissa, I think you mentioned earlier the finale.
Yes.
And we want to share some of that, but
sure.
Talk a little bit about that again. And
absolutely.
This is something that you sing.
Yes, it mm-hmm. is. This is the first entrance of Catashaw. And like I said, it's been about 50 minutes of fun and frolic and things are just about to be done. Like the opera could be over. And then Catashaw comes in and just throws a wrench into everything and addresses the entire town and says, everyone be quiet. You must help me because I'm here for Nanki Poo. And everyone's like, what? And it turns into this huge thing. And they end up sending her away at the end of the finale, but she's the one who brings the Mikado back and really messes things up in Act 2. Like I said, misunderstood. He shouldn't have slighted her.
Union Avenue Opera presents Gilbert and Sullivan's The Mikado. Scott, you're doing a lecture series with this one too?
Yes, every Friday night. Dr. Glenn Bauer from Webster University does a lecture. Those are free and open to the public. They begin at 7 p.m. in the Fellowship Gallery.
And then later in July, your second production, Tosca. And then in August, Doubt.
Maybe that's right.
Maybe you want to mention Christine Brewer again.
Well, of course, we're so thrilled to have Christine Brewer on our stage for the first time.
Do any of you have like a final word you'd like to say about this production in particular, about working in St. Louis?
Well, St. Louis has a lot of wonderful artistic forces that are coming together to do this. But even if you've seen Gilbert and Sullivan a million times, if you've seen the Mikado several times, this is going to be a wonderful fresh take. It's well worth a try.
That's Eric Gibson, who's directing. Melissa Parks?
I'm just so enjoying St. Louis. It's just a wonderful city and so inspirational for its beauty and for the kindness of its people. I've really enjoyed being here. And this is a new company to me, and I'm just having a blast. It's wonderful.
And thank you, Scott Schoonover, for bringing your guests with you today. It's
thank
been
you.
Fun meeting you all, and
thank you.
Have a great production.
Thank you.
That was Steve Potter speaking with Union Avenue Opera Artistic Director and Conductor Scott Schoonover, mezzo-soprano Melissa Parks, who will sing the role Katasha in the Mikado, and Eric Gibson, who will direct the production. The Mikado opens Friday night at 8 and will continue July 9th, 15th, and 16th at 8 at Union Avenue Christian Church. You can find more information at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. Archive versions of past St. Louis On the Air programs are available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis On the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.